Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Federal.
Swammerheist.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
1 million rubles.
Hello everyone and welcome to RJP's coverage of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island. I'm your host Shannon Gus, here to talk about that season, the 8th season of Survivor South Africa. We have some exclusive content coming at you about this season. It is filmed, it is wrapped, it has happened, which is so exciting. The first English-speaking Survivor that is filmed in the COVID era, like, just an incredible feat. And I think we want to, you know, get the teasers out there, but also just talk about how this happened, because globally in Survivor, it's significant. And as an accomplishment in the world right now, I think is really significant. So to do that, first, please welcome, as always, my co-pilot in this endeavor, with whom I will share so many more podcasts about this season, but this is the first of that. Please welcome the great Mike Bloom. Mike, thanks for being here.
Shannon, for over a year, we have said when, not if. The when is here, and now we get to find out a little more about how, but I am pumped beyond belief. Admittedly, it was a little nice to take a break from Survivor, especially after such an epic season of Winners at War coupled with Australian Survivor All-Stars. But now that, you know, I've properly fasted, I'm ready to gorge on more Survivor, and we get a nice, beautiful buffet coming in front of us in a few months.
Yes, well, this was exciting. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about what it was like for me to hear that it had been filmed in the COVID era, when nothing is a certainty and we have this thing now done as a certainty, is incredible to me. And we just kind of had to get something on the record to hype about it a little bit, but also to get the details. And who better to do that with than the series director of Survivor South Africa, who is the great Larue Botha. Larue, thank you so much for coming back onto the podcast.
Mike, Shannon, thank you very much for getting me back. It's been a wild year, but we are here and we did it. Hashtag we're not if is finally here, and we are very, very happy that we could have had the opportunity to do this and film a season of Survivor South Africa. And can I tell you, everybody is going to love this season. It is a rocking season.
It's safe to say you're going to have a lot of new eyes onto the season, maybe even non-Survivor fans, considering that the name of the theme of your season, I think, is actually very applicable nowadays to the times that we live in.
Absolutely. Immunity Island was born before COVID actually happened to the world. So nothing was implied with that, just so for new people kind of coming in on it. Immunity Island was decided when we announced the show December 2019,
December
which feels
8th.
Like a lifetime ago. It's the 8th of December 2019 is when we announced season 8, Immunity Island. And then COVID happened, and immunity is such a big thing now, but it's also a big feature in the season of Survivor SA.
Well, even before we get into everything with Survivor South Africa, because again, I tongue in cheek joke aside, I do feel like there are, at least from if I'm using my timeline as a microcosm of Survivor fans, there are probably a good amount of people right now who are listening to this who are not fans of Survivor SA going into this season, or are newfound fans. Before we even get any further, Larue, can you just give like a quick 30-second bio on who you are, your experience with Survivor South Africa, so people know, you know, exactly what Survivor South Africa is in this iteration and what they're about to see in 6 months?
Okay, so I started off as a content producer on Survivor South Africa in its third season. After I failed to actually take part in season 2, I started off as a content producer on season 3, 4, and 5. And then Survivor took quite a hiatus of about 4 years from 2013. And then in 2017, our production company got the rights to produce Survivor through Mnet, which is the broadcaster in South Africa. It's a pay TV broadcaster, and we've actually got the rights to produce the show, and we produced season 6, 7, and now season 8. I'm the creative producer on the show as well as the series director, and a Super Survivor fan on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, and as another thing that people might not know, have they not been following this journey, we say we're not if because Survivor South Africa Immunity Island is a little bit of a miracle season for so many reasons. I mean, and I would encourage anyone who hasn't to listen to the deep dive that we did with LaRue over a year ago now, which has like all of his backstory and just some incredible insight there from such a unique perspective. But at the time, we had finished the seventh season, Island of Secrets, and we didn't have like a renewal for this eighth season. And we said, like, it's going to happen when, not if, this is happening. Like, it has to be out in the universe. We refuse for this not to be a thing. With no assuredness that that would happen. And then I remember it was December 8th because it was my wedding night. And I got my phone back and it had been renewed. And everyone was like, wedding present for me, which was definitely true. One of the things I remember most about that day for sure was Survivor South Africa getting renewed, which was amazing. I'm like, not even really joking. Like, I do.
Wait, was that the something new as part of your wedding tradition, Shannon?
Yeah. I mean, before I was something blue that we didn't have Survivor South Africa, and then it became the something new that it got renewed. Just really an incredible wedding present. And then COVID happened. And it was like, oh, you had promised us this thing, universe, but just like everything, COVID took it away. And now you're the season before Australia, before the US, before all of these things. Like, I feel like you have the passion and the practicality and the professionalism to get this done. And I definitely feel like we're going to need to dig into it because it feels miraculous to me. I hate to be hyperbolic, but that's my thing. But it feels miraculous to me.
I think there is a lot of miracles that happened for us to actually get this done. I think a lot has to do with the fact that the broadcaster, the Mnet, the channel, they were brave enough to actually say, okay, here is the let's do this now, and let's do it in our own country and take that leap of faith, and we trust you guys to do it. I mean, they can. The broadcaster usually sends their CE, which is their channel executive, to the set, and they spend the time with us. But because they were busy with quite a lot of projects, they basically said to us, "Go, we trust you. Just send us tribal council every evening, the full cut of tribal council." So that's kind of how they managed. So they trusted us enough to actually get the show done, and on top of that, the miracle of just people working together to make things work in this COVID era. We arrived; there were I'm sure we'll get into it, but just everybody working together to make this season of Survivor. And like I said when we started, it is going to be a rocking season. The cast is amazing, and they've started playing from day one. So there's a lot to be discussed. But I think the miracle of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island is the fact that it happened. It happened safely. Nobody got sick, and we have it in the can and busy with the edit as we speak.
Mm. So let's talk through the timeline here, because, you know, we sort of experienced this with the U.S. side of things earlier in 2020 that, you know, they had every intention of sticking with their usual filming schedule. As, you know, situations became more dangerous and dire. You know, I believe the story is that they were in the middle of pre-production for season 41 when essentially everyone was given the orders to return back home, and then everything shut down after that. What was the timeline like for you? When did you start exploring options, particularly of looking to film in country? How much were you sort of like, you know, looking at one eye at the figures and really trying to see, okay, you know, how do I plan for obviously the world changing situation that's going on right now?
So from the broadcaster side, Mnet gave us permission to go and look at some new locations, and we traveled quite extensively December, January last year, early this year. And when we arrived back, things started, the whole COVID situation started becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And we then had a conversation with the channel as well as with with Banerjee, who owns the format rights. And they then suggested, why don't you look at somewhere in South Africa. We actually practically asked them to, if it would be an option, because from their side, it's usually not allowed to shoot in one's own country. That's part of the format rules of Survivor when you get the format bible from them. So we negotiated with Banerjee with the format rights, and they allowed us to actually then start looking closer to home and on home turf. And basically, just before we locked down, we went into a hard lockdown in South Africa on the 21st of March. And in the 2 weeks leading up to that, we were scouting locations in South Africa for a possible shooting location and a possibility to shoot that in March, April, May this year. And then we heard about the hard lockdown. We found the location in the Wild Coast, and we were locked down. Casting was basically done. We had our final group of castaways with all the reserves that we had, and we then contacted them and said to them, "Listen, hold your horses. Not going to happen now. Obviously, we are in hard lockdown." And then, as things kind of progressed with COVID and the lockdown was extended, we were then basically forced to relook at how we're going to do this and when we're going to do it. And we have different levels of lockdown in South Africa. So we started on level one, which is level five, which is a complete hard lockdown. You can only go out to go to the grocery store and come back. It's solid hard lockdown. And by level three, we were allowed to kind of start working on productions with strict COVID protocols in there. And that's when MNET started bringing up, do you think it's possible? By which level do we consider being able to shoot Survivor? Like I said, they have a whole bunch of new shows currently on their slate, and Survivor is part of that slate. That's why we're only going out in June next year. We have Shannon, I think you'll appreciate this. We have a season of Bachelorette, which is also wrapped, and that is going out on MNET before we actually start with Survivor in June. So Bachelorette also happened, and then by August, September, MNET then gave the green light and said to them, how quickly can you turn this around? So we started pre-production in end of September. We started pre-production in September. By October, we were on location, starting to build challenges, tribal council. And then by the 6th of November, 2 weeks before that, cast and crew arrived on set, went into a hard isolation, mm-hmm. quarantine. All the COVID tests were done, everybody cleared, and then 2 weeks later, on the 6th of November, was day one of shoot, and we wrapped on the 14th of December with day 39. And that's basically how the timeline went for this. And we are sitting here today on the 23rd of December. After Christmas, we are full on in edit, and then on the 3rd of June will be the first episode of Survivor SA Immunity Island.
And I think that it's really important to, when we'll hear probably more about it, but those protocols that you mentioned, like this isn't just something that was irresponsibly done where you just got really lucky that no one was sick. Like, I think that's really important for the listeners to hear, because for me, you know, with COVID the way that it is, like, I would feel not great kind of supporting a show that did this irresponsibly and put people in danger. And that's absolutely not what you did. And I think that's really important to just like define that for the listeners of how responsibly this was done and their safety of the contestants and the crew. And that's even more amazing that you did it with that safety while still creating an incredible product. But I wanted to ask you, as like a producer and a creator, how did your mindset change going practically from, you know, a normal season of the show to now we're local? How does it creatively change practically in terms of, I know Survivor can be quite an international team just globally. What was your mindset doing kind of shifting to that?
I'm just mystified also on top of that, that there's this Survivor Bible that's like, hey, you should film outside of the country. And I did not realize that was like a hard and fast commandment.
Yeah, it's part of the, it's obviously part of the format is to promote the outside world of the country that of the country that is producing the show. So, I mean, that's there's a whole bunch of stuff in there. But that now with COVID has changed, that is not as hard and fast and has now built in things that we've now learned from this production that we've now shared with Survivor Central and with the format holders about how to shoot the entire show. So it was a groundbreaking show in shooting period in terms of how do you film a show which contestants are in close proximity with each other and with a crew and with a crew of 150 to 400 people. How do you manage that? And I think what we've done was create a protocol that will definitely help other territories in terms of how to produce the show in the horrible times that we are in. Yes, getting back to your question, Shannon, about the COVID protocols per se, like I said, each crew member had to do a full-on CPE test, COVID test, as well as the castaways. Everybody was in full lockdown. And then once everybody was cleared and got out of the lockdown, we went into a production bubble. We had two different bubbles, which was the one was an internal bubble, which had a few pods in that bubble, and I'll get to that now, and an external bubble. The external bubble basically consisted of our department, unit, and all of the external the people who had to deal with external factors, and then the internal bubble was the rest of the production. The rest of the production and those pods that I was talking about for the internal crew basically had different colors. So the orange pod only interacted with the castaways, and they were in they had like bright orange vests on whilst they were filming the castaways. They were the only ones that were interacting face to face with the castaways were the content producers, which is normal practice for Survivor anyway. But they also did social distancing. They had sanitizers, not the castaways, the crew that were interacting with them. And so the orange pod basically only interacted with the castaways. And then you had the green and the blue pods, which had limited interaction with them. Which included the filming crew for the challenges, as well as the internal art department, the people who only interacted with Nico. So that was myself and Hundry, the executive producer, and Darren, and the wardrobe mistress who handles all of Nico's clothing and sanitizing that station. So a whole bunch of pods and bubbles were created. No interaction. The hotel that we were staying in also had a separate wing for us, so nobody interacted with any of the hotel staff, and a separate dining area. So there were quite a lot of movement on that, just in terms of, and also the logistics behind it is crazy, but we had such a great medical and COVID safety protocol team that kind of looked after all of the contestants, all of the cast, all of the crew, and made sure that everybody stuck to the rules, wearing masks. If you were outside of the orange pod, you had to wear your mask as well as a visor. If you needed to interact with the contestants like myself. So, it was crazy and was very difficult in the beginning, because specifically with Survivor, there is quite a lot of camaraderie happening between the crew, because it's long days and you get back from a shoot day and then you have a few beers with people and you sit down and you just have a chat, and it's just about the day and what happened on the beach and what happened at the challenge. So there's quite a lot of that behind the scenes happening with the crew. And this time we had to make sure that that was also in a safe zone, so that the orange bubble didn't necessarily interact with the blue pod or the orange or the green pod, and that the yellow pod, which was the external crew, didn't interact. And if there was interaction, that you would level up, that you would put on a visor or one of those blue suits that made you look like something from Stranger Things. But it's really bizarre and very difficult to kind of get people into that. But after like 11 days, everybody was kind of just flowing into it. And it's amazing that we went through the entire 39 days with no incidents, with literally no incidents of anybody breaking protocol and keeping the cast entirely safe for that 39 days, and then getting everything in the can.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely incredible that you did that. And I mean, you've talked about kind of creating this protocol for other franchises. Is there anything other than the logistics of all of that, which is so impressive, that you can share with us, like some top tips, yeah, basically, that you're giving to these other countries?
And I'm also intrigued on top of that, when you came up with those protocols, like who did you talk that over with, like any health and safety people from just a general South African country? I know you mentioned sort of like the protocol team. Who are your main collaborators to figure out these rules and this strategy to be able to film safely and with everyone's health in mind?
So we have a very good medical team that we've always worked with on our seasons of Survivor, which is season 6, 7, and 8, with the Taurus medical team. And they, in conjunction with Darren Lindsay, who is our series producer and a stellar human being to work with, they basically sat down with myself and Hendry, and we worked up this the protocol system for shooting Survivor, because it's so much different shooting Survivor than it is shooting something like The Bachelorette or shooting a drama where there everybody's on set, everybody needs to sanitize, those are simple kind of rules that you are now having to follow when you are shooting a show, is wear a mask, sanitize, wash your hands, social distancing. Those are the basic rules for filming nowadays. And then on top of that, you now have all these moving parts of this great machine that is Survivor. And we had to kind of work out as creative producer, I need to go to the art department and make sure that that all the challenges are set up, and I have to go and test all the puzzles, and I have to make sure that all the hidden immunity idols are correct, and which notes goes with which ones, and collect them. And so I have to interact with the outside bubble, and what is the protocol around that? Like I said, then you level up, then you when you walk into the workshop, we usually let everybody who had a yellow vest exit before I entered with the art directors, and then they would also level up, so they would wear visors and their masks, and then we go through all the things that we need to go through, and then whilst everybody's outside, and then once I've left, because I'm in the blue bubble, they would then enter. But sitting with the production or with the safety team and the COVID compliance team, and working out that operating procedures happened basically as we got the green light, and it's part of an ongoing thing that MNET is So they're sharing what others are doing, and then we are sharing what we're doing and what works and what doesn't work. Because some of the stuff doesn't work. I mean, you, as much as you can make plans for these type of shows, there are always some protocols that is a little bit over the top. But once you realize and you've gone through that and you kind of discuss it, and it's a living document, so it gets updated all the time. So basically that was with the our safety officers. And then in terms of top tips and that type of thing, it is important, I think, for other producers to realize that it is difficult. It is a pain in the ass to kind of try and shoot a show having it change, having all of these changes happening with a show. But by changing nothing, nothing changes. And I think that's a big thing to remember, is if by changing nothing, nothing changes. Kind of a thing that we had to learn this season, and the quicker we made the change and got used to the change of how we shot this, the more efficient we worked.
It is crazy that you did it local, which is something that was kind of joked about around May-ish by Rob, you know, Survivor Wild West, the US doing that. What were your takeaways from that? Like, as a Survivor Super fan creating the show, did it feel inherently different to you to be like this first local season, or was it still like Survivor, the game we know and love? Was it very different?
No. Listen, when we sat with the contestants before we started playing the game, one of my questions to them were, now that you know we are playing in South Africa, does that change how you feel about playing? And all of them said, it doesn't matter. It's not about where we play. It's about the game that we are going to play. And for me, after I saw the first rushes on day one, after the marooning happened, and saw how that looked on camera, and we had that first day in the can, I looked at the rushes and I kind of went, this feels like it could be in Malaysia or in Panama or in, you know, any of the other locations that we shot. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. There's really beautiful scenery. The tri beaches work. We can't get into the ocean. You can get into the ocean, but you can't set up a challenge in the ocean because it's wild. It's called the Wild Coast for a reason. But it really is amazing. And I mean, even on the promo that went out, you can see how beautiful it is, and it feels authentically Survivor. And that's exciting for me. And after that first day, I kind of went, not even going to worry about this. This could be anywhere in the world. And to have it in South Africa is phenomenal, because you actually have that, you actually have the local, you know what to expect from the locals. You know what to expect from the local currency. You don't have to try and work out, okay, how many pesos is there in a rand again? You know, we're working, or how many dollars do I get for my, you know, it doesn't matter. So I think on that level, it did make a hell of a difference for us to just be. It's one less hurdle, one less thing that you have to think about, because shooting in any other location, there is quite a lot of dealing with the locals from that country, and having a facilitation company in between, which we didn't have this time around because we were our own facilitators.
Yeah.
And understanding the language, and having local artists and artisans come in and be part of the family, and starting to integrate into entire Survivor universe was amazing to see. And just the upliftment that we did in the community as well, because that's a big thing for us, is to give back to the community that we are in. And just to have people who haven't worked for over a year because of COVID come in and now have a job for 3 months or 4 months, and see the how they flourish under those conditions is just amazing as well. So there's a lot of positive things that have come out from shooting in South Africa, and I think you'll see it on screen as well.
So I would love to talk about the choice of the Wild Coast, because listen, call me ignorant American. I would have watched that promo and be like, this looks completely the same from any other sort of beachside jungle-esque location that Survivor proper has filmed in over the past two decades. So obviously when you found out that you would be filming in country, talk to me about, you know, what made you decide on the Wild Coast in particular, because it's clear that I think you were still trying to go for that Survivor feeling from a cinematography perspective, even though, to your point, you're not going to parts unknown, remote tropical islands, etc.
Yeah, so the Wild Coast, when I was little, my family used to go to the KwaZulu-Natal coast, which is quite close to the Wild Coast. And we used to, on rainy days, go to the Wild Coast Sun where we shot the hotel that we stayed in for the season. And that was on a rainy day, that was our kind of outing. It was to the Wild Coast Sun. So I knew the surroundings quite well. But then once our location, so I suggested to our location manager, please, can you just go and check out if it could possibly work? Because for Survivor, you need the beauty, you need all of the visual stuff, you need tri beaches, you need challenge locations, but you also need infrastructure. You need a hotel where you can sleep, in our case, 150 to 200 people crew. You need infrastructure for catering. You need infrastructure for production. You also need then all of the other things. And when he phoned me after I told him, please go and check the Wild Coast Sun out for us, he came back to me and he said, it's the best place that, and he's done quite a few Survivors and found quite a few locations in the world. And he kind of went, this is the perfect Survivor location. Why have we not ever been here? And I said to him, well, because we couldn't. But anyway, so the infrastructure was quite a big thing for us, and a big plus point for us in terms of choosing this specific location. And it works. It really is quite amazing to see how the location just plays into what happens on screen in terms of castaways and in terms of feeding into this amazing season that it's going to be.
Yeah. So, obviously with these restrictions, I think we do have to wonder, in terms of the usual hallmarks that we see in a Survivor season, are there any things that we are not going to see in particular because of the protocols that you put in place that we're used to seeing from a Survivor perspective, whether it's, you know, certain parts of every episode, whether it's, you know, seasonal traditions in terms of challenges that happen?
In terms of that, you are not going to see challenges in blue waters. It's we use the rivers and the estuaries that was available to us there for all our water and our water to land challenges. So you are not going to see blue water. You're not going to see underwater shots where the castaways jump off something and dive in. You're not going to see those shots. It's the Wild Coast. The ocean is just too wild. It's infested with sharks. There is a lot of people. There's no shark nets. So there's a lot of swimming. There's a lot of people fishing and that type of stuff. But it's and the riptides on the Wild Coast is also quite wild. So you are not going to see any challenges that are that involve blue water. They are water challenges, and they are awesome, and they are in the river, which is quite a different look and feel, I think, and very unique to the season. And then some of the other challenges that we had, the Wild Coast, other part of the Wild Coast that is quite wild is the fact that there are snakes everywhere and quite poisonous and snakes. So lots of rats, but they get kept into bay, kept at bay by the insane amount of snakes. So we have green mambas, we have black mambas, we have puff adders, night adders. There are quite a lot of snakes, and they do make an appearance as part of the story as well. So
you Ooh,
also
the
see
21st castaway are the snakes.
The 21st castaway is Immunity Island, which we can talk about later. That was another challenge for us. So we had a snake wrangler as part of our safety team. And he used to go into...
God, worst job ever. Snake wrangler.
No, it's his favorite thing in the entire universe is working with snakes. So he used to kind of just check out where the contestants walk out, and he'd walk with his snake stick and go and make sure that there's no snakes on the route out. So those are some of the things that really stand out for me in terms of things that are different this season. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
No. What about things like loved ones? Is there going to be a loved ones visit this season?
Yes. Hmm. We had the loved ones were in isolation for 8 days before we actually. So we created a bubble around them as well. But we did feel that it was an important part of the show, and then it's always an important part of the show. So yes, there will be a loved one's visit at some point.
It's interesting that you say like it's so different in terms of like the blue water. I feel like everyone's been wanting to get out of that like samey beach oceany thing, and we've done it now by going closer to home for your franchise, which is really interesting. But I also wanted to know like was COVID present? I'm sure it was, but in terms of just like the mindset of everyone, like I'm thinking from a contestant perspective, you're going to play a 39-day game, usually so tough to be away from family, and now you're doing it in the horror movie that is our lives. You know, same with the crew, like leaving your family, as you've already spoken about so beautifully, to give people a job at this time, but also just kind of the weight of where we are, and to film a show about real people and real stories within that. Did you feel like that added a layer of heaviness or story or complexity on top of what you usually have?
Look, COVID is present in this season, and I think it's going to be present in our lives for a little while longer. I hope a little while longer, and not a lot while. Anyway, so it's definitely present, and the contestants were encouraged to, if it was in their confessionals or have a conversation on the beach, if they wanted to chat about that, and we encouraged that. For the crew, because of the bubble that we created for the production, it was ever present, because you only take off your mask when you eat. You always have your mask on, even at challenges, and that you'll see production photos later on that will come out. Everybody is wearing a mask all the time, and it makes it quite difficult in terms of the heat that you are in, and you have to wear this face mask and close proximity that used to be quite important, because control rooms and that type of stuff. You have to do social distancing, so we had to bring in bigger containers for like a tribal council. So that happened, and that was quite a big thing for us. So COVID was definitely present, and I think it did add a layer of complexity for both the cast and the crew on the season. Yeah.
What about from your perspective? Because it would be an understatement to say that, you know, being the head of creative for a Survivor season is such an anxiety ridden task of just keeping so many balls being juggled in the air. Throw a bowling ball on top of that of like, hey, you also want to make sure that all these protocols you put in are not broken. Did that add to your stress level at all while producing this season, while also thinking about all the stuff that usually goes on to make a Survivor season go off without a hitch?
I think so. But also, you have to, once you have your team together and you have people in positions to look after some stuff, like Darren, our series producer, he's in charge of looking after how the crew is being handled, and how, when are they getting off days? Are they wearing their masks? How are they going with the protocols? And you let him get on with it. So for Hundry as the executive producer, his focus is on the content and working with Nico. So he's in Nico's ear and making sure that that happens, and that the content team does their job and that they stick to their rules. For me, as the creative producer, I have to look after our department and make sure that the challenges are tested and run smoothly, and that all of the creative stuff that happens in the show goes off without a hitch. And I then look after that part of the show and the COVID part of that show. So we had to split the responsibility of COVID between the three of us, and between the trifecta, I think we managed it quite well in terms of stress levels, and getting things done. So it was stressful, and it did add another layer of stress, but breaking up that stress between the three of us kind of made a lot of sense and helped a lot.
Yeah, I mean, let's get to teasing some things now. You talked about Immunity Island being the 21st castaway. Do you want to expand on that in any way for the listeners?
Immunity Island is a very interesting player, if I may say so, in this season. It comes in from episode one, and it brings you choices. And as we all know in Survivor, when you get a choice and you have and you are put in front of that dilemma to make a decision, you are then essentially making your own fortune or misfortune, and that is what Immunity Island brings to the game in a big way. It's different from Island of Secrets, where somebody was sent there after a reward challenge. This time, Immunity Island happens after an immunity challenge. So there's bigger stakes at play. Island of Secrets also had a secret, and if you wanted to keep it, this time around, there are options, and you have to basically make the decision if you want to take the option or not take the option, and what would that mean to your game. So it has a big influence this season, and I think the audience is going to like where we pitched this in terms of playing out for the castaways as well.
Speaking of those castaways, so looks like we have, what, 20 new contestants. You already talked about sort of their own attitudes towards the situation and how they were raring to go. Can you talk just more generally about this group of contestants in particular? Were you going for any sort of vibe with these contestants for this particularly new season, considering how, in my opinion, you've knocked it out of the park with casting the previous two seasons as well?
Yeah, and there was a conscious decision from our side to go with a little bit younger cast this season. Basically, because of comorbility and COVID being such a big issue, so we have a relatively younger cast this season, and that was a big thing for us. It is a 50-50 split in terms of BIPOC.
Amazing.
You know, I think in terms of representation and representation for Survivor in the bigger picture, it is that's basically where we went with that. But also, from MNET side, their mandate towards us was to go down the middle, which we did, and I really like the cast. I think it's one of the best casts we had of the three seasons that we produced. Everybody came to play. There was really some fantastic plays. We had some really interesting things happen with Immunity Island and with Idol plays, and it's a very interesting cast to once you meet them and you understand where they are and who they are and why they want to play Survivor. It's a great cast and it's great to watch them play because they all came to play.
I want to go back to that the diversity and ethnic diversity in the cast, because that is so exciting and interesting to me, because obviously, you know, it made big waves when CBS announced that for all of their reality cast moving forward a couple of months ago. But given the timeline, it seems like Mnet, you know, made that decision even before a network like CBS did. When did that come in with the whole casting process? And I'm also intrigued to know, obviously, there was a bit of a hiatus between, you know, this first cast being decided and then the actual filming process. Was there anyone from that initial group who said, you know, I do not want to go out there now, my situation has changed? And did you have to scramble a bit to find new people to fill those spots?
Basically, the cast that we had in February, we kept in touch with them during our lockdown, and then when we finally got back to them, we interacted with them again and asked them, how do you feel about playing, and would you play? And not one of them said no. So our initial cast that we had all came back and said, we are in, we are ready to play. Which was phenomenal. We're very excited about that. And it also shows the level of commitment for them to kind of, after the year that they've all had and we've all had, to kind of go, let me take the adventure of a lifetime to the next level. And that's exactly what they did. In terms of the decision from Enid, we've always had that, that mandate from Mnet for the casting specifically, to be representative of the Mnet audience, because of where we are in the country. So it wasn't a big thing for us to do it once again, because if you look at the previous seasons as well, there's always been most of the time that BIPOC split. So and that's always been the mandate from Mnet. So I think it's just now brought to the fore with the whole CBS and where we are in the universe of Survivor. So it's kind of always been our mandate from the broadcaster.
Yeah, I think with South Africa, like it's such a unique place in terms of its like cultural diversity. Just everything about it is so diverse and varied, and even like the things we've seen on Survivor South Africa that you don't get a lot of on the other Survivors, like the fact that English isn't the first language for a lot of people on the show, like, and they have to speak English, but it's just very diverse from a linguistic perspective as well. So I think that what Survivor South Africa has always represented is like a nod to that diversity, because it wouldn't really show South African society without it. And I don't really feel like the CBS mandate has needed to come into play for you guys, because it's been its own very different thing. And South Africa is its own very different thing in that way. And, you know, we've seen in the teaser as well, 20 players, as we've said, two tribes of orange and green. What else can you tease? What a little, you know, someone's listening 50 minutes into this podcast, what other little crumb can you give them that no one else gets because they didn't listen and thus they've been punished?
There are some big challenges. We went a little bigger this season in terms of the sizes of the structures and the challenges. What else? It's a beautiful location with some really interesting really interesting kind of landmarks in the area. One of the landmarks is a spot called Waterfall Bluff, which you'll see in the first episode, which is one of a few rivers in the world that actually runs out into the ocean. So you'll definitely see that. Tribal Council is quite beautiful. It's a lot different from anything that we've done in the previous two seasons. So the other thing that we quite focused on this season as part of the look and feel is quite a lot of skulls and snakes and driftwood. Ooh. So with the that look and if you go about 42 seconds into 38 seconds, you'll see a shot of a torch being snuffed, and that's the torches this season. So quite beautifully designed. The other thing that you'll see this season, which is quite different, is the fact that the Wild Coast, the weather is wild. Everything about the Wild Coast is wild, but the weather was wild as well. So we had quite a few tribal councils that
wild coast.
Yeah, that absolutely. That had full on rain.
Is
the
Wild Coast in the west of South Africa?
No.
Oh, because I was like, maybe this is the Wild Wild West season that we exactly thought we'd finally have better.
It's finally coming to fruition.
But have these people not suffered enough to have to sit there in the rain? Like, I mean, it's already been 2020. I feel like they all should have, like, had umbrellas out there just to say sorry for this year.
We had, like, full-on torrential rain, downpours at some of the tribal councils. The weather plays a big role this season. So that's something that you can look forward to as well. That is so different, and it's so bizarre to watch, but you kind of look past it because the gameplay is so good.
So much exciting stuff with this announcement in December. To your point, we do have to wait a little while. Mm-hmm. And I will say to those who, you know, responded to this stuff by being like, why are they waiting to air this until February? As LaRue said, it's a network decision. There are other shows that they have filmed and are able to air, so they feel fine, you know, airing Survivor in the summer. But from that perspective, you know, when should we expect the next batch of information to come out, whether it be about contestants, about the season proper? Because I can imagine that now that the season is official and out there, people are going to want to gobble up as much content as possible leading up to June 3rd.
Yeah, I think if you look at it, the June 3rd broadcast date for us is actually a good one, because in the Southern Hemisphere, we have winter then. And by the time that it goes out here on a Thursday evening, Survivor Thursdays, it's winter time. So people will be in front of their televisions for that linear viewing of Survivor. And that being said, I do think the next round of stuff that you'll be seeing, probably round about, I would say, starting from end of Feb, start trickling some information out. We have some really interesting plans for promos and trailers and all that type of stuff. So I would imagine kind of from end of February, with a big kind of push towards the middle of beginning of May, going into the 3rd of June broadcast for episode one.
I want to comment on the air date of June 3rd, because, yeah, I do think there's a lot of like, oh my God, we have to wait so long. And I get it. Like, I could take more Survivor tomorrow, but I think we also like need to be, you know, we need to recognize the fact that Mnet is doing this on their schedule as a commercial TV product. Like, you, commenter, complaining about June 3rd are probably watching the show illegally. You are not the prime audience for this. And we as super fans need to know that it's not about the fact that we wouldn't have had Survivor in a year. We're very lucky to have this. We're very lucky to have it as a certain thing. But they can't just rush it ahead because the rest of the world isn't, you know, airing Survivor in the first half of 2021 and kind of make it a thing for the global super fan base. It really has to be about the people watching on TV in South Africa. But I think what is amazing about it is that it is really certain because, you know, for me, COVID has taught me, if it's taught me anything, it's like, do not count your damn chickens because who knows? Mm-hmm. Like, we were meant to have five seasons in 2020 and I tweeted a lot about that and how exciting it was, but didn't happen. And now I don't trust that anything will happen until it's basically happened because COVID has robbed me of that. So I think just having this and knowing we have a date, we have a product that will be out there, that's an amazing thing. Like, to me, that gives me hope as a Survivor fan just to know that.
Yeah, and also on top of that, you know, I think there's also been some commentary about like, oh, you know, now there's a chance we might be getting Australian Survivor during the summer. There have certainly been rumors that the US CBS might be pushing Survivor to, you know, film and air over the summer. And that's all well and good. And yes, it might lead to an inundation from a super fan perspective. This is going to be the only season airing in South Africa. I do not think Mnet necessarily cares a lick about other Survivor seasons that are airing from other countries.
Winners at War is currently airing on Mnet in South Africa, so they have it. it's on the schedule and it's currently airing. So I would not be surprised if other territories pick up the season. To be quite honest with you, I would really not be surprised. It hasn't happened yet, and I'm just putting it out into the universe like I do with all the things in my life that I would really like to happen. I think it's a matter of time. Look what happened to season 6 and 7, which is now airing on 10 Play in Australia. Yeah. You never know what can happen with season 8, specifically because it's only going out in June. There's still 6 months of time that can pass and shit that can happen.
It's not 5 months. It's so soon.
I know. And that's the thing as well, is I think, you know, we can start to announce our coverage of Survivor South Africa in 2021. And it starts off with maybe something old before something new, but you know what? I think
thread through the whole podcast.
Exactly. let's pull the ripcord on something though, because LaRue, you talked about, maybe some coverage ramping up in May, and I think we can officially make the announcement here that, you know, through the wonders of what LaRue was able to pull off even before the season, Shannon and I, once the cast is released, will have some preseason interviews to show you all. We were able to work with LaRue to provide a set of questions to ask the 20 new contestants. And once the cast is released, Shannon and I are going to release several podcasts where we play through the interviews that these contestants had to the questions that we brought them and see how we can judge their games and how they'll do on the season based on that. But that is so exciting on so many levels. And LaRue, I want to thank you copiously on air for being able to make that adjustment for us. I cannot wait to find out more about these people, even more so now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is a pleasure. And quite a lot of the cast afterwards, after we finished the season, came to me and they said, please, can you organize a deep dive with Mike and Shannon?
Oh my God. Okay, well, those people are my favorite, so I don't know who
we're booked through 2021 now, assuming, you know, it ends in like September, so we'll just fill the rest of the year with deep dives after that.
We always do, though, and it's classic us. LaRue, you've been back like under a week, I think. Maybe it's a bit too soon to kind of ask like a bit of a summing up question, but do you kind of look back and reflect on anything of kind of having achieved this thing, doing it in this global pandemic? What reflections are you taking away about like you, your team, achieving that? Because I know I feel like so proud, incorrectly proud, because it's not on me. But I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you and the team, because I've always backed you guys as being this like incredible thing and making this incredible product. And I just feel like you had that necessary level of super fandom and passion to just really care enough to get this done, and logistically be able to, that maybe, you know, not everyone could do. So are you looking back on it already, or is it too crazy to be doing that right now?
It is so weird. We arrived back home and kind of went, did we really just do that? And we were away for like 6 weeks, 7 weeks. I was away for 10. We got home back to Cape Town and it just felt like we weren't away. And then you kind of realize, but it is out there. It's done. So it kind of feels a little bit surreal. I'm super proud. Ever since I've been back, I've been writing a post for Instagram that I'll hopefully finish by the end of today. Just to kind of reflect back on all the different and thank all the different departments for the work that they've done, because it truly is a miracle that we got this season in the can, specifically with the second wave that hit South Africa recently of COVID. Literally, 2 days after we finished, they closed the beaches on the Wild Coast in the Eastern Cape.
Wow! Oh my God!
So that is how quickly things have escalated in South Africa. So we are currently in a second wave, and to finish the season 2 days before they closed all the beaches is a little bit scary, but incredibly, there's an incredible sense of achievement. And I think everybody felt it once we wrapped the season, that sense of achievement, the sense of actually finishing this monster of a show without any cases. I mean, that is incredible, and I'm super proud of each and every crew member and each and every cast member for the season and for what they all brought to this wonderful game that we all love, and that we actually finished it, and we have a product. It's still not edited, but we have it, and it's backed up on 3 different servers around the world. So,
oh my God, protect you with your life.
It really is incredible, and I couldn't be more proud.
Mm, you should be.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I can imagine that also the process of editing, I can always imagine getting to revisit what happened. It's now going to hold extra special meaning for you now, because it's, wow, this is, you know, a Survivor season that I get to revisit through reinvestigating the storytelling aspect, but also reliving just, despite the odds being against us, everything that we were able to get done. And look, you know, we live in a world where Survivor is not necessarily the chiefest of our concerns, quite obviously. But I do think there is a lot of value to what you were able to pull off here. And hopefully when the world is in a brighter place come June 3rd, for many reasons, then now we have a nice Survivor season that was made during a very difficult time to just, you know, be the icing on top of that cake.
Mm. Absolutely. One little thing that I forgot to tell you guys, that was quite special whilst the contestants were in isolation. Just before we started shooting, I reached out to quite a lot of Survivor players, both SA, US, and Australia, and I asked them to do a little video for the players kind of coming in while they were in lockdown, telling them stuff that they wish they knew before starting to play the game of Survivor.
Wow.
3 hours plus content later. And it really meant a lot to the cast who were in isolation, kind of sitting out in that COVID bubble for close to 2 weeks before we even started with the profile shoots. So they had this video with these previous players kind of telling them stuff that they wish they knew before they started playing the game, which is quite cool. And yeah, maybe one day we can, once the show starts airing, we can share that. So,
oh my goodness.
It was quite special.
Are you able to open up as to which some of the players you were able to get to dispense some wisdom?
Let me quickly see here. Give me 2 seconds.
I know Nick did, so I feel like I'll kick it off. Devins, I think.
I would imagine, knowing your relationship with Rick Devins, I can imagine that he had a part here.
So I have videos. Devins was in. Adam Klein did one. Nick Iadanza did one.
Did Adam Klein say, "Please do not play a podium as an idol"?
He was quite cool. I mean, it was a lovely just he was the first video on this kind of timeline that I put together, and he was just so sweet and really said the most amazing stuff for contestants to take to heart. I had Xavion from season 5. I had then from season 6, I had Werner. I had Jacques from season 7. I had Meryl, Dante, Kubis, Mike from season 7.
I cannot imagine the message that Dante sent. Don't hug anyone with your fist. And that's the advice I have for you.
Kevin from season 6. There was quite a Cipe. Also had a message in there, Jean from season 6. So it was quite a lot of Survivor players that kind of got on board and really interesting things that they said. So yeah, and it's an amazing little thing, and I think it meant quite a lot for the players kind of before going into the show.
That is amazing. Cool. No one else is doing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, no other series director is organizing that.
Look at this dedication. Nobody else would get, you know, videos, not from a cameo variety, from Survivor players around the world dispensing giving their own words of wisdom. That just shows the dedication and especially fandom for worldwide Survivor that LaRue has, and makes me just excited minute by minute the more that we get to talk about this. Again, it's a little bit of a hop, skip, and a jump, but don't you worry. Shannon and I should have plenty of South African content coming your way in the meantime, leading up to Immunity Island.
Yes, we will
really
be
looking forward to
it. We've announced it, but for anyone who hasn't heard, we're covering season 5, Champions, which is not a returning season for all the people that are confused. I have never seen it. Mike has seen it, but doesn't remember it very well, is I think what it is.
Anyway, I mean, I was in the throes of being a new father, yeah. So it's safe to say I don't remember a lot about that portion of my life. But so just so people know, it's all on YouTube. I will not give out the address specifically, but if you YouTube Survivor South Africa Champions, the entire season is up there. I think we're still TBD on, you know, what our recurring basis of covering it is. I think we're going to take a little bit of a break for the holidays and come back about mid-January to start covering it. LaRue, obviously you were, feet on the scene of Survivor South Africa Champions proper. Without getting into too much specifics, what should we expect from watching this season?
The first two episodes should be watched as a season premiere. It's longer episodes, so the episodes ran about 62 minutes plus minus. It's quite a chaotic pre-merge, and then post-merge is really the fun really starts. Big characters, very interesting gameplay. Not one of my favorite twists with the two team captains, or the tribe captains. Not my favorite twist, but once they kind of got out of their own heads with in terms of the captains, and they let the players play, there's some really interesting stuff happening. Obviously, I was only a content producer on that. I didn't like there's some rules in terms of idols that can be stolen, that sits very badly with me, right up there with the edge of extinction. So that's something that I really didn't like about the season, but otherwise it is a fun season with some really great characters in there, some great villains, some superheroes, and it's going to be fun listening to you two kind of digging into the season. I'm really looking forward to that.
I love the idea of you working on the show and being like, one day I will run this and I will make so many changes.
That is interesting though, right? It's like, you know, working at a company and then watching decisions that like your CEO or your boss makes. And you're like, I wouldn't necessarily do that if I was given the opportunity, and you were given the opportunity. And now you got to make the Survivor that you know you like to make as a fan. So that really is a dream come true in so many ways.
Yes.
Absolutely, and that's our stance in terms of producing Survivors. We want to make the show so that the fans who watch the show and appreciate the show will be happy with what is being put on screen.
Yeah, and it will be spoiler free, so everyone can watch along with us. I think we are going to be doing like 2 episodes a week. Right? We're doing...
Yeah, I think so. Just to like, maybe once the post-merge turns super chaotic, maybe we'll go down to 1 episode a week.
Probably,
but I think... I think starting off, we're going to try it out and see. So again, there's a YouTube channel called Survivor Official that actually also has If you're looking for some Survivor South Africa content, you can also check out season 6 of Survivor South Africa, which LaRue was in charge of, one of our favorite Survivor seasons of all time. If you have not checked out any Survivor South Africa and you're checking out season 5 alongside us, but you're looking for something right now to check out of what Survivor South Africa can be, please, please, please watch Survivor South Africa Philippines and then join us for our Champions coverage as well starting next month. That'll take us, you know, a few months into 2021. And then before you know it, we'll have some preseason interviews your way with this group of 20 new contestants. And then that goes right into our coverage of Immunity Island that should last us, you know, several months into nearly the end of 2021.
Back to back with you guys for 9 months. It's going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to that.
We're truly back. I think the off season has been good for Survivor South Africa. It's like, firstly, gave a lot of Survivor fans time to be like, what is out there? I've personally had so many messages and even just seen like on Reddit and Twitter, like people really loving, so especially Survivor South Africa Philippines. I did a podcast with Rob where I was like, this is a season any Survivor fan needs to watch. And then it went on 10 play and people were finding it and loving it. So I'm excited about the possibilities, like new fans, all the good press this has got by being done and having an air date and being this like solid thing that's happening. So I feel like the juggernaut that is Survivor South Africa is just like steaming ahead. I'm very excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, LaRue, where can people find you to see the Instagram post you've been touting here, but also everything? Like, I think, you know, people should be definitely following you as a super fan and also just checking out what you're doing, creating TV for us in the times where we need TV the most.
All right. I'm on Twitter and on Instagram at LaRue Botha, LaRueXBotha. It's basically my life. I've been off for the entire time that we were filming, but I have opinions on Survivor and other things on Twitter, and I take pretty pictures on Instagram, so that's it.
that's all you want from those two platforms respectively.
Yes, that is it. And Mike, what have you got going on at the moment that you can tell people to check out during this holiday season?
So much, as we make a lead into another coverage of a reality TV product in Survivor South Africa Champions. I just finished up coverage of a major reality TV product in The Amazing Race 32. Another season that has sort of been, you know, in the can for quite some time. Had a lot of fun with that one. Shannon, I know you were on with us a couple weeks ago. Had a very fun time with that. Over on Post Show Recaps, I am continuing to cover Lost with the great Josh Wigler. Who knows? Maybe we can rope him into doing a couple of Survivor South Africa recaps in the new year as well. As well as coverage of Star Trek Discovery with Jessica Lees, both shows that I know LaRue loves dearly, and some other mystery projects, I will say, coming in January 2021 as well. And you know what? 2020 was such an eventful year in so many ways that actually, at the time we're recording this, about 12 hours ago, myself, Rob Cesternino, and Class of 2020 breakout star Chappelle got together to do a brand steal of Survivor, the stars of 2020. We had people, characters, things,
COVID.
Streaming platforms, no COVID. Well, COVID appeared in a manner of speaking, but they all battled against one another to see which star would reign supreme. Very fun brand steal. And if you've been jonesing for some Survivor stuff, until we get a new Survivor season, Rob and I have been hosting an off-season podcast series called Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, which is an arbitrary and reductive ranking and rating podcast where we take a look at miscellaneous Survivor subjects and try to come up with, you know, the very official power ranking of things. For instance, Shannon came on a couple of months ago to do one about power ranking of various immunity necklaces. We just finished one with Leona Boris about ranking and rating infamous voting confessionals from over the course of Survivor US. So if you are into stuff that looks back on really silly, innocuous things from over the course of 20 years of Survivor, be sure to check that out, because, you know, as long as Survivor US is in the off season, I think Rob and I are going to keep doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel always bad going after you in terms of what I'm doing, because I'm like, I'm so busy this week. I'm doing the podcast 3 days in a row, and then you're like doing it like every hour. But I'm doing this podcast right now. I was on Post Show Recaps Theater with the great Josh Wigler, aforementioned. We talked about Love Actually, and that's coming out on Christmas Eve, which is very fitting. And that was honestly, that's for patrons. But honestly, I think you can still listen to it on Patreon, also become a patron of PSR. But that was so much fun with Josh and Emily Fox. Like, we just laughed and laughed. And largely rewrote the movie to make it a way better product. And I will just say that not all the characters survived our rewrites. We killed off some people.
Oh, well, I mean, listen, there's so many characters there. I think a couple of them might not necessarily make the edit.
And some of them deserve death, just got to say. That's the very much the vibe of the podcast, so that's what you're getting into. And tomorrow I'll be on the Bachelorette finale wrap-up with Amy and Haley to talk about that. And that's very much a season as well, where I was like, wow, they have not left this resort, and it's filmed all in America where they usually travel, and it really doesn't matter. Like, it's all about casting. It was such a good season. I just finished it tonight. Very emotional finale. So I'm doing that. Check out my Plurality Vote podcast with Taryn if you haven't already. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was like high-key strategy that maybe people shouldn't think about, but we were thinking about it because it is month 7 of the off season. It was a good time, and
and even a Survivor South Africa reference. I will not mention which season again, defer for spoilers. But Survivor South Africa does get invoked in that podcast.
Yes, I think people
indeed
are.
It does, yes.
Yes, people are kind of getting consuming that at their own speed because it has no time limit. So check that out. But yeah, Luru, thank you so much for coming on to talk with us. I feel like this was
Seriously. So
necessary. Like, even if you weren't coming on, I was like, Mike, we should probably just talk about this and get on the podcast and just like geek out a little bit about how excited we are. But having you on to give us actual information and content, that was even better. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Shannon. Yeah, I'm really aiming to be on post-show recaps with Jessica and with Mike, you know, talking about Discovery next. I'm just putting it out in the universe.
I was like, I don't remember that.
That would be so good. I don't watch it, and I won't listen because I don't know what's going on with that, but I would support it.
Oh my goodness, say, like, no, I'm loving it at the moment, and I'd love to pop in, Mike. It's an open invitation from my side. I am available because we haven't started editing quite yet. So, and I can always avail myself to talk about anything Star Trek. So I'm just putting it out there. You know, thank you very much for having me on, guys. I really, really appreciate it, and I really appreciate what you guys are doing for Survivor South Africa and the global community for Survivor. Thank you very much again.
Yes, thank you so much, Luru, for coming on. Thank you, Mike, as well. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thanks to you guys for listening. We will see you next time talking about Survivor South Africa Champions. And until then, we're just waiting for June 3, where hopefully we will all be by then on Immunity Island. But we'll see you next time. Bye.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
1 million pounds.
Million euro.
Million
shekels. 1 million rubles.
Tribe spoke.
The tribe talk with us.
Tribe spoke.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.